All right, welcome to the show. I'm seeing we have new guys joining us, and this is absolutely awesome to see a lot of guys really bring in a lot of curiosity early into the space. Always interesting to see just how many people want to bring in the curiosity, want to fulfill, you know. It's always said as curious as something. I don't know what that is, Ali. I know you're going to finish in that. Something that is curious, giving us a lot in terms of knowledge and just to fill up the cup, because that is something definitely we'll be looking into. So, Ali, what do you have for us today?
Yo, first things first, University of Nairobi, my alma mater, also the school that requires you to take 6 years for a four-year course, is adding the cost of school fees for postgraduate. And Felix, this is not something new, yeah?
Absolutely.
So the freshmen that are joining the class of 2021, 2022 in September are going to pay slightly more. And as usual, well, as before, the standard reason behind this change is that they are, they're facing issues with admission, of course, with the changes here. The parallel students.
Actually, right now it's 147%, right? The raise in fee, Ali, if I'm correct?
They're about, yes.
147%. So if you're paying 6,000, you can imagine you're probably paying about 7,000 right now. So, sorry, if you're paying 3,000, you're probably paying 7,000 right now in terms of fees.
Allow us to get into the details of the figures as the podcast goes on. But then something else that I also will talk about is more of at a regional level is, of course, South Africa and specifically the industrialization of cannabis in South Africa.
Legalization of marijuana in South Africa.
The one I chose was industrialization, but then to our listeners, we all see where Felix's excitement lies on. I cannot speak further without a lawyer.
Oh, guys, and in case you know that guy who's against weed, I don't use weed. Straight and clear. I'm not a fan. Yeah.
Felix, I'm sure the listeners have imagined.
Yeah, but then Ali, you know, it's really, should we really touch on that right now for the South African bit?
Sure, go for it.
All right. You know, for guys who are actually listening to this for the first time, Earlier this week, South Africa actually crafted a strategy to tap into the cannabis industry. That is what we know as marijuana or marijuana, yeah, whatever it is, or medical, yeah, the other word. I wouldn't say that on this show. So what South Africa is actually doing is they're telling guys, you know what, we can be able to tap into this industry. We've actually seen places, cannabis is the only stock that actually grows, you know, growing mm-hmm. everywhere, can grow anywhere in the world. So guys are actually coming in and telling guys, you know, oh, sorry, they're tea companies, but, you know, what we need is cannabis. Not we, but what they need is cannabis in this case. So the South African government has said that they're bringing in a master plan that is going to harness the $1.9 billion industry, hopefully to create jobs in South Africa. Pretty interesting, because I know we're going to touch on to the job data as well for the South African mm-hmm. government. But this would mean that there would be a lot of reforms in terms of land and various industries as well. Mm-hmm. The main challenge that I think we're going to have is the licensing of the farmers, you know. Because, you know, for this to get to this point, then we're seeing countries would definitely need to bring in a lot in terms of licensing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're going to have a mini Jamaica somewhere where this is legal and everybody can be able to grow it and use it as they please. But let's see to what level the South African government really is going to come into this. This is something, because we know in 2018, South Africa actually legalized marijuana for personal use. That was way back in 2018. Felix, but now when they're tapping into this bit of making it commercial, mm-hmm. it's huge, man. Like, I don't know, how will they control the smokes from the industry going into the atmosphere?
Felix, you have an interesting way of looking at it. But then maybe just before we start really doing a deep dive on the topics that we want to discuss today, what's something that stood out for you globally?
This week? Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe I'd let the lady in the room go first. Ladies first.
Nicole?
Let me get back to you.
Okay.
All right. The lady has decided to pass the baton back to you, gentleman Felix.
Well, Ali, I think what really stood out for me was that we've been looking on to, we've all actually been waiting for, to get more data about tapering.
Tapering?
Yeah, tapering. That's the bond buyback program.
Uh-huh.
So the Federal Reserve of the United States, the Fed, kama kawaida, they've been hoping to, there's been news all over that they would actually start tapering from September.
Mm-hmm.
But now today we've actually seen news, and that has been hitting markets globally. And we know that there's been news about the likelihood, because we saw Fed Vice Chair actually say that they might start tapering in September.
Mm-hmm.
But this morning, I mean, okay, evening Kenyan time, but in the morning, that was about an hour ago, during the Jackson Hole Symposium.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the Fed Chair, Jerome Powell, actually say that they will not start tapering in September,
mm-hmm.
but most likely they will. He's going to propose that they start it as soon as possible. For those of you who don't understand tapering, what has actually been happening is whenever there's a financial crisis, there's a way that governments would always involve themselves in various financial markets.
Mm-hmm.
So what tapering, what the Federal Reserve of the United States has been doing is they were encouraging a bond buyback program where they would buy bonds from bondholders, you know,
mm-hmm.
to reduce the level of default as well. And so right now the tapering is they're likely to reduce that activity, and that in some way is likely to affect certain financial markets. And that is one thing that I know most of us are likely going to look into. So tapering is basically, it's a word that means they're thinning that activity. So they're literally just reducing the level of bond buyback program that they have been looking at. And the only challenge is most economies usually look onto most countries and most global markets would always look on to what the US is likely to do. China has been doing that. We've seen a lot of activity as well from the European ECB,
mm-hmm.
the European Central Bank, and we are likely to see that happen from them as well once this happened. But we saw the other day Christine Lagarde actually saying that, is it Lagarde, tomato? Yeah. Anyway, we saw that Christine Lagarde actually said that they're not planning to do that anytime soon, right?
Right.
And that is one thing that we're hoping that the actions of the Fed won't be able to hit onto these other companies as well, these other markets. But I know we've looked at this from various analysis, Ali. We've seen where guys are actually saying,
mm-hmm.
you know what, tapering could actually be good for the market. Tapering, and the only challenge personally for me I have with tapering is that the Feds have literally been printing money. There's been news all over that. And that's why earlier on in the year, if you've been following markets, there's been a lot of fears, even from the Feds themselves, about inflation, you know. And inflation is basically the paper value of money being eroded. And we're seeing that coming in with a lot of printing. Yeah, printing and paper, and then paper and losing value. Yeah, that's slightly confusing, trust me. It does to me as well. But now, you know, if we have a lot of money in the hands of retail investors, we're going to see more AMCs, really good for us, but bad again for the global financial system. And we've seen that, and we really hope that that won't be a case in the long run. And I'm seeing the lady actually saying, wants to say something about Pfizer coming in with FDA approval. Yes.
Well, it's not about Pfizer, and it's not about the FDA. I want to divert completely from what Felix was talking about. Have you guys seen the Milk Crate Challenge? Have you seen Felix?
You mean
so
that, and my first question was like, where are they getting all this crates here?
Yo, that's a very interesting concern, but I think it's a very silly challenge. Why would you hurt yourself? Those people are literally getting serious injuries.
Speaking of the milk crate challenge, sorry, it's on TikTok, right?
Yeah, TikTok.
You saw that TikTok is actually launching e-commerce. TikTok is, I think TikTok is launching shopping in partnership with, it's actually testing shopping tabs in partnership with Shopify. where I think users will be able to, you know, access a feature that will allow them to sort of scroll through a list of products on TikTok, and then once they click, they're going to be directed to the merchant's Shopify storefront to access the products. I think that's I'm sure that's something interesting for you as a creator, Nicole.
That's a game changer to me.
That and the great challenge.
The great challenge is silly. That's a game changer. TikTok introducing e-commerce. I think there's huge market in the TikTok space.
Mm-hmm.
So if people can tap into that, if businesses, brands, and creators can tap into that and take advantage of that, I think that would be a total game changer.
Definitely.
What level of game changing are we seeing here, guys? Is it just any game changer? What do you mean when you talk about a game changer? And what opportunities are we able to have, you know, in TikTok? You know, Ali, one of the things that I was actually looking, you see how Twitter Spaces is actually bringing in ticketed spaces, you know?
Yeah.
So I am looking at it in forms of, it would actually be better if guys would actually start paying for their shows on TikTok. But then also another thing is, you know, a lot of guys actually sell a lot of brands as well.
Mm-hmm.
On TikTok. And I know like guys like Black China, who apparently is one of the most followed personalities on TikTok. Actually, that's the highest revenue earner on TikTok.
Wait, TikTok or OnlyFans?
Oh my God.
You're mixing up your platforms, Felix. You're mixing up your platforms.
Sorry guys. Oh, but how, that crazy dude who talks when he's silent, what's his name?
Javi Lame.
Yeah, Javi Lame. Those are TikTok guys.
The Senegalese Mr. Bean.
Yeah. I think such guys, if they come into, you know, he's pointing at water and then he tells you Coke, and then you can click on Coke and buy it.
That would be interesting, though.
It would be interesting. Should, but then interesting. What would be the delivery? If Javi Lame is in Senegal and I'm here in Kenya, how is the delivery done? If I want to make Coke.
Nearest Shopify merchant according to your geolocation. I'm sure that can be fixed.
Okay.
But then away from that, now that you're mixing up your platforms, let's also maybe touch on one of the things that we'll talk about today, which is OnlyFans.
First of all, Ali, what's OnlyFans? I'm so interested in knowing.
OnlyFans, I messed this up last time. I'm not going to do it again. OnlyFans is it's a content creation platform.
Exactly.
Popularized.
Yes.
Hold on, I have to add this. Popularized by adult content within, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. However, OnlyFans is a content platform. And
OnlyFans is just like YouTube, guys. Let's say just that now you can pay before watching the YouTube video.
YouTube, but then you pay subscription to a specific creator before, you know, you have exclusive access. And OnlyFans backed it up a little bit. They are reversing their stance on explicit content. And today we'll get into detail what does that mean for them? What does it mean to their IPO? What does it mean in terms of the nature of funds they can attract, especially from venture capitalists, given that most of the fund providers are sort of careful, if that's the word we're going to go with, on vice companies. Felix, let's get into it.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm an only fan, you know. I think you could be my only fans. I tried that before I got to this show, this live recording, and yes, it actually
it's picked still me. Not working.
Okay, still not working. Okay, forget about everything that.
Anyway,
I said about
if you me. Want to be Felix's only fan, download Hisa. Not only fans, guys.
Yeah.
Hisa available on the Play Store and on the App Store. Felix, let's go back to our first point of discussion.
OnlyFans, no.
No. UON and fees, not OnlyFans.
Just hold it right there. Before the end of this show, we're definitely going to talk about OnlyFans. So if you're wondering about OnlyFans, yeah. Remember, there's always, whenever you're eating the beef or the meat, as you get closer to the bone, that's when you start feeling exactly. Ali, continue.
What he said. So back to a question that you raised earlier. We saw that programs like communication and MBA, the fees for such programs sort of rose to close to 700,000 for a 2-year program, up from like 275K. And the reason that UN is giving, and before I even go to that, we've seen that the cost of undergraduate courses under JAB, which is the government-sponsored program, have also risen.
It's course, it's KUCC. Well, what is it? It's,
fine, yeah. KUCCPS. That abbreviation is...
It's so hard. Yeah, say JAB.
I'm old school, so I have to go with JAB.
Say JAB.
Anyway, so the programs under the government-sponsored package are for like medical programs have risen... The cost has risen rather from around 26,500 to 59,000, you know? And the reason why University of Nairobi is adding the cost is because there's been a dip in parallel numbers. Why do we have a dip in parallel numbers, Felix? It's because the government changed requirements for admission for the government-sponsored program from, I think, around... For the government sponsor programs from I think around B down to C+, where C+ guys are the people that would ideally join parallel programs
in
public universities.
Self-sponsored programs.
Sorry, self-sponsored programs.
Thank
Again,
you.
Very old school. This is really bad for me. And my question would be, since most Kenyan universities, well, the public universities, rely on students, specifically self-sponsored students, for a huge amount of their funding. What alternative sources can universities consider, given that we have this reality? Because you guys, my guy, you're adding fee during COVID, where guys are learning on what? On Zoom. What other sources of revenues should public universities like the University of Nairobi consider so that they can stay afloat? Because Felix, the last time such announcement came out was around July. And at that point, the University of Nairobi, according to Business Daily at least, had sunk into a loss of Kenyan shillings 1.4 billion. That is for the year to June 2018. And we saw that they were not even able to pay some of the critical statutory deductions like PAYE, NSSF, NHIF, HELB, you know, amongst other deductions. It clearly shows that, you know what, the age where universities could rely on self-sponsored students is coming to an end. So what now?
I think, Ali, okay, first of all, guys, just a disclaimer is I'm not an education professional, but I can give my sentiments from an economic perspective. And it's only two of us here. Yeah, so I'm definitely going to give the other side of the coin. What I'm thinking is, Ali, first of all, our country, we're going into a place where we're closing the doors to every single person who wants to study. We're already seeing what the CBC is doing. It's called CBC, right? We're seeing a lot of parents really complaining about competency-based curriculum, where guys are needed just for you to take your child to class one, you need to plan with as high as 70,000, which is so high. Now, being as somebody who's actually studied under HELB and the JAB program, most universities have actually been paying, and personally, I didn't go to UN, but UN was previously charging guys 26,500.
True.
Now they're charging you 59,000.
Well, that's specifically for medical course in undergrad.
Yeah, just an example. Let's use one as a study case. That's what we know. That's public. And probably there are a lot more. Let's say they were charging 26,000 and right now it's up to maybe even about 40.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, guys need, if you're depending on help, like some people would, probably somebody who's disadvantaged and your parents cannot be able to pay that fee. And help, the maximum amount help can give you for every academic year is probably 50,000. And the 10,000 bursary, that totals to 60,000, right? And so in this case, what are we looking at? We're seeing cases where you're going to get help at 50,000 and you're going to pay it and you still need to get 9,000 so that you can be able to access just your university education, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do medicine and you can do it because you can be able to afford that cost. It doesn't make sense. in my opinion. Remember, this is somebody who's yet to eat. They're yet to probably pay for their housing. And that's a challenge. On the second bit that you've asked, what universities can be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that most people don't really think about is universities can actually be able to acquire, you know, these are entities,
right?
The institution, they can actually be able to acquire other entities as well. I'm actually thinking on, okay, it's a crazy idea, but why can't universities just start investing? You know, the same way that we have Kenyatta University actually investing in the referral hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually earning something from that. Even there was the mall that they were actually doing. I don't know if it was KU, but it was actually KU, the KU mall, right? Those are some of the things that they can... Was it KU or JQuat?
It was KU. KU.
Yeah, if KU comes up with a mall, and these are ways that they can actually be able to get...
Wait, this is the same mall that we're talking about, the one that is right after KU.
Yeah.
That ghost town.
Yeah, yeah, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. It's a ghost town. I know. But you know, if we can be able to figure out how to monetize some of these projects,
mm-hmm.
can you imagine if KU Mall was full? Yes, it's a ghost town. And I know some of the supermarkets like Tuskys, which say they would rent the space there. They already left. Yeah. So it's a ghost. Everything there is dead. But can you imagine what level we had? If the activity that we see at the KU Teaching and Referral Hospital
mm-hmm.
is the same thing that we'd actually see in other places, things would go in. I'm seeing universities actually owning publishing houses. Why do we have smaller companies like Centum buying into Longhorn? Okay, bigger companies like Centum buying into smaller companies like Longhorn.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't universities start bringing in some of these ideas? Because I think the challenge that we've had is most of us never really think beyond certain limits. The universities are so used to the self-sponsored students really filling into a lot of this space.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not seeing them thinking beyond that. And I think the government as well needs to bring in a lot of subsidies. Now that they cut in the sort of their other revenue source for universities, I won't say that was their main channel, then the government should also create a lot of subsidies as well for the universities, including increasing the funding for universities that usually go in every year. Because remember that the same universities are now taking in a lot more students than they used to take
right
previously.
Mm-hmm.
So still much of a big challenge, but it's good for the local guys. The only challenge is if UN is starting this off, then we're likely to see a lot more other universities really bring in a similar move. And now guys are going to start asking themselves, I won't want to compare, but you don't want to really see the charge that other private universities like probably Strathmore, mm-hmm. USIU, Daystar are actually charging for a similar course before you can move, before you pick it in. And we know the challenges that some of us face in public universities, including your lecturer actually sending you notes and not coming into that class until the date of exam.
What do you mean challenge? That was a norm where I went.
Yeah, it's actually a norm. Yeah, a challenge, but it's a norm.
Felix,
Ali, you've been at UN. What is your take on that?
Oh my God. Don't even get me started. I don't want to make this podcast my personal rant. But then I like what you said. Here's the thing. When the government chose to lower the bar for sales for government-sponsored students, I think what they ought to have thought about is the revenue implication. Because I went to the University of Nairobi School of Business, yeah? And the comparison in tuition fees between the self-sponsored program and the government-sponsored program is miles apart, yeah? But now that we're already here, I think maybe it's time, you know, guys like UN consider things like, you know, commercial jails. Or maybe like, given that the university has had a name, it has a reputation that goes, you know, way back. Maybe it's time to provide services like consultancy. Of course, they won't be able to compete with like corporate giants, but then they would at least if they can provide things like consultancy at more competitive rates, given that they already have access to the body of knowledge and access to what I would define as the best minds in the country, it's something that they can tap into.
Can we have places where universities actually acquire other universities, you are acquiring that university somewhere. You know, I wouldn't want to be personal against any other university, but come on. Why can't we have such cases, Ali?
I don't know.
Like we're having special purpose acquisition vehicles coming in everywhere. Why don't we see that? I'm actually hoping that such would actually be legal. We would see some institutions actually overtake others. It would be very interesting.
Yeah, and maybe like something else that maybe, I don't know, a university like UN could consider is, you know what? It has a lot of real estate.
Yeah.
Rent it out.
They have a lot. And seriously. Then also, you know, these guys are complaining, but Ali, have you seen the UN Provident Fund?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's one discussion we could discuss.
So that I would, I'm not as informed. It's probably something that we can look into some other time. But then thing is, providing maybe, access to its real estate, of course, at a cost implication, or maybe like offering bridging programs, or considering, I don't know, some specific causes that would add value to its local communities, maybe during a time where students are not using real estate, which is probably the past 1 year, it's something that they can look into. Because see, here's the thing, yeah? If you increase the cost, you increase the cost of these programs, then people cannot necessarily afford them. So they have to consider other universities. So you have less people. So it becomes that one thing that just fits into each other. Yeah.
Can we say that I could actually rent a house at UN and come to work?
I don't.
As long as there won't be any strikes.
You're getting personal. Felix, let's move on. Have you had time to look at the Laikipia County Infrastructure Bond? So Laikipia County, let me
is becoming the first county, you know, to give in it's becoming the first county in the country to give in an IFB. Going to be very interesting. One of the things, Ali, that I know is pretty much of a challenge is guys are asking on to the stability, you know, of these bonds, the fundamentals of these bonds.
Right.
Some of the things that actually turn out to become pretty much of various challenges for every single investor at generally every single point, because we all know that we want to ask ourselves, just how long is this bond really, really going to be? And I know that that's one very weird thing, but the good thing is we're seeing the amount is pretty much small.
Could you go into details?
Yeah, so for guys who are listening to this for the first time, Laikipia County is actually looking to raise 1.1 billion Kenya shillings towards water for products and smart towns. I don't know whatever smart towns they want. Looks like Elon actually already has a town for his bots. so really much interesting. And the good thing, the one other thing that we're seeing here is that Laikipia is actually being backed by the national government, that's the treasury.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that Laikipia County has actually done before they started the issuance of the bond. I think in early 2018 or 2017, or in, it could be 2019, when Laikipia actually brought in and now started giving guys, you know, giving, not really guys, but Laikipia came in and brought in a lot in terms of the activity for Kenya Revenue Authority by letting KRA become their primary tax collector for Laikipia County. And I think that has really been a stable thing. We've seen a lot. We've seen the county, it's called the COG, whatever it is. Okay, yeah, I know. I don't know what it is. But they have actually encouraged other counties as well to bring in that activity by giving guys, you know, access to giving KRA the opportunity to help them in tax collection, tax and revenue. Really good stuff, Ali.
Yeah, I think It's a good initiative and definitely
some. Do you want to buy the Laikipia bond?
Me?
Yeah.
Not at the moment.
Why not?
I had already pre-made my investment decisions when the year beginning, and I would like to run with those.
I don't know. Nicole, how about you? Would you want to buy into the bond?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You're curious.
Would you advise me?
You're curious.
I'm curious.
Felix, would you consider it?
I think I would. It's one of a kind. I don't know why guys won't want to invest in it, but I think I actually would.
I don't know. Well, when you do, you tell us how that goes.
The only challenging thing is that it's coming at a very wrong time when we're expecting a bit of, we're expecting change of guard. And you know, with various governments, we don't know what's likely to happen in the next bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think and this is one thing that I think we need to know, is that most of the governments, if we can have a stable structure, governance structure, yeah, then we can definitely figure out how to, you know, even rate these bonds and give them a lot in terms of the valuation and everything else that comes with it. So pretty much that is my only concern. But if we can figure that out, then
yeah,
why not?
I mean, definitely. I think something else that caught my attention locally is, well, this is more at a sad note, so I'll just save it for the last. Insurance.
What, is it only fans?
Locally, Felix. Okay. Locally. Locally.
Sorry, guys.
There's been a crackdown on modifications, and we've had actually specifically UAP Insurance on Monday informed its customers that it's not going to insure cars that have been modified from using petrol to using LPG. And this actually caught my attention because I'm actually planning a podcast with the team that's transitioning cars from using petrol to LPG. And I know that they've been working closely with cab drivers in Nairobi to give them an alternative source of fuel that's comparatively cheaper. Especially if we're looking at the figures before, you know, the excise duty on gas, or rather the tax on gas kicked in. And I think the reason was, quote unquote, such modifications lower safety precaution standards and aggregate our exposures to liabilities in case of accident. We have therefore taken a decision not to onboard or renew cover for any vehicle with such modification done without the manufacturer's approval. What do you think?
Guys, come on, Ali. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest.
Yes.
You don't want guys to put, you don't even want guys to fit their cars with probably like alloy rims.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is that?
No, I think...
because I know like whatever has always been there has been for lift spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has been a cost. But then also with the Kenyan roads being more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you go around the country, yes, you would see how we have better roads. If you go to Mombasa Road, you'll even sleep on the road. So still lots and lots and lots of stuff happening. But you know, I think the main challenge that we really have to see here is, if guys want to modify cars, why don't you just import a car? If you want an EV, there's a guy who imported a Tesla here the other day.
Here's how we look at it, yeah?
I know we all want to go green anyway.
No. Before, like, forget going green. Guys, let's personalize this thing.
I have a plan. Yeah, I want to personalize it as well. Continue.
Sure. And there's a company that's already sort of giving personalized insurance, but then I cannot mention them because, well, this is not a sponsored show. But then I feel like insurers in Kenya have the opportunity to vary their offering. I mean, if someone wants to modify their car, I am sure that we can make adjustments to the policy that will accommodate that risk. As long as there are proper disclosures in place
But let's then again, Ali, do you know how many guys would never? Do you know how many people would actually admit that they have spacers in their car?
But then here's the thing. See, you're supposed to. There's supposed to be a level of due diligence on the insurer. Of course, we're not leaving the goodwill check blank. It's Kenya, guys.
You've seen that meme where what's his name?
Who?
If you actually see where he says I'm just getting his name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just hold, guys, just hold. Let me get his name.
Like, I feel like as you get the name.
Oh yeah, where Chadwick Boseman actually tells guys we don't do that here.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't do that here.
No, I feel like I understand. Like, here's the thing, I understand the stance the insurers take. Like, some modifications will heighten risk, which is correct. But then my argument is, well, then create a package that will allow a customer to pay for the extra risk they're bringing. I feel like it would be something that would benefit both the insurer and the insured. If, of course, they don't lose out on a customer because the customer is interested in a few new specs. The customer is interested in, I don't know, alloy wheels or...
Customer is always right, guys.
It's not the sense of customer. Like, just make enough accommodations that will still allow you to secure business and the customer does, you know, a few things they feel.
Customer is always wrong.
It's the same thing, like, I know... Again, this is something that we've covered on the podcast.
I think Ali, one of the challenges we're going to see here is the old school insurance companies are going to peek into it. They're going to cancel it, and then you're going to have some crazy guru somewhere who's bringing in smart insurance, and they're probably going to run away with this.
Oh, it's here.
And then all of a sudden, you'll see companies that were rejecting the same idea.
Starting to accept, but then it's a tad too late.
Yeah, yeah.
Because here's the thing, again.
It's the same way when we were talking about back then with my friend Elon, when we were talking about reusable rockets, and guys like Neil Armstrong came in and said, you know what, this won't work, and now where are we? Yeah. So yeah, shout out to Elon. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This is
sorry about that, guys. Oh my God, little bit of jokes here.
Yeah. This is like, here's the thing. It's drivers have, okay, apart from the car modifications, there are different driver habits. Yeah. And I feel like the different driver habits in terms of how they brake, how they accelerate, the speeds which they prefer to drive in, the conditions that they drive in, already sort of customize the risk which they bring to the table. So Derek, let's break it down to the individual. Let's do it. Why not?
It's too personal, guys.
Too personal. Anyway.
I think Ali is probably...
No, I don't have a modified car car.
Just say it. Are you planning to modify your car?
Once I get it, oh, definitely.
And I think like, I know the guys usually love modifying their cars. That actually means, does this mean that we won't have modified matatus anymore?
Well, I
don't
know.
Because I think our matatus are usually very modified.
I'd have to talk to someone blowing the wrong guy or the gong route. A few guys in Ruaka, I don't know.
No, okay. Yeah, and we also know like a few guys as well in Donholm, in Embakasi.
In Embakasi. But then here's the thing. My argument is, you guys, the cost of fuel has risen. Gas is comparatively cheaper
It's LPG.
Yes. LPG is comparatively cheaper per kilometer as compared to petrol or diesel. And I am happy to bring down this math for you guys in a podcast that is coming up. And we will also get to discuss how the tax on gas changed that. And actually, Felix, let me make this clear. The guys who've modified their cars to use LPG are not necessarily just, it's not LPG, it becomes, so we're moving from petrol part or diesel part to a hybrid where they get to use both LPG and gas. And again, this is something that we're gladly bringing to your ears at the Kenyan Wall Street. So you know what? I'm just going to hold this rant up until I do that podcast, and then we'll pick it up from there.
Just a minute, guys. How cheap is it? Imagine it would cost you at least 10,000 to just have your car running in Nairobi, moving in, and then you probably use like probably use like that large cylinder, 2,200 to run across to cook for the whole month. So somebody's out there, you know, using 10K and you're probably using 2K. Crazy statistics.
Let's hold on to the math until I can actually offer it to you guys. At the moment, it's not information available to the public yet.
I think we can actually make a lot of comedy from that. Yeah, we'll be waiting. A lot of puns coming in through that show.
Felix?
Do we go to OnlyFans now or later?
No, we... Maybe more onto a regional level, Felix, South Africa. Good news from South Africa is, yes, they've unveiled a national strategy for the industrialization and commercialization of Mary Jane, marijuana.
You guys are actually now seeing who's saying that's good news. Yeah.
This is good news for business. The bad news is South Africa has also reported a crazy unemployment rate.
SA is now the top, actually. Just say globally, it ranks the top in terms of unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a major, that's a very interesting data that we have here. SA now, and I think one of the things that really pushed into this was the riots that happened last month,
mm-hmm.
which saw a lot of businesses actually close, and some of them are still closed. The level of damage that happened into the country, I think, was mostly in the major cities, you know, I think it's of a global market concern. As much as we're seeing a lot of moves in other places like Johannesburg and Pretoria, other parts of the country are pretty much damaged. Places like Gauteng, I don't know how they call it, but yeah, probably, you know, like South Africa has that or something like that. I don't want to pull it. Yeah, but I know Nicole knows how to pronounce that better than I do. Yeah, you guys know how Trevor Noah usually does it. Yeah, but I won't do it on that for that level. We're seeing a lot of malls actually going down. Some of them were very new, and some of these structures really take time. And what people didn't know is that as much as they were vandalizing products, there are a lot of other people who are actually losing their jobs at the same time.
Maybe if just to dive in into the data here, according to Bloomberg, the for Q2 of 2021, the jobless rate rose to 34.4% compared to 32.6% in Q1. And if we're to consider also the number of people available for work but also not looking for a job, it's 44.4%, you guys. And just to give you maybe a snapshot of what's happening in the rest of Africa, South Africa is around 34.4%, followed closely by Namibia, which is around 33%, and Nigeria thereof. Jordan is 25%.
Jordan?
Yes, sorry. This is more global, not Africa.
No, like, yeah, it's interesting.
You didn't see that one coming,
did you? I didn't see Jordan coming in at that rate, at that number.
Costa Rica is slightly below 20, I think at 18. Tunisia ranging thereabout. Greece 15%, Spain 15%, Brazil 14 point something, same as Colombia.
But we need to check Colombia's GDP, guys. Before we get a lot, we need to talk about Colombia.
Yes, and before Felix thinks of touching Colombia, here are the details of the job losses in South Africa. The finance industry has lost a whopping 278,000 jobs. Social services, 166,000 jobs. Manufacturing, 83,000. Construction actually grew by 143,000 jobs, while agriculture grew by 69,000 jobs. So it looks like guys lost their jobs and then decided to go farming. Typical Nairobi business.
Yeah, guys are coming from the towns and going back. Just a comment about Colombia. Colombia's about 45% of the country's exports is actually oil. That's petroleum and petroleum products,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty much very interesting. But why we need to check on Colombia very well and get the right figures is because we know there's a special number that is missing from Colombia.
Yeah.
And we don't want to talk about it here on this show, Ali.
No,
yeah,
I have good relationships with them, and
yeah.
We want to keep it that
you way. Have good relationships with Colombia?
Well, a few people from there.
Oh, you know,
not in the business.
Colombia.
Felix, it's a small world.
Okay, guys, if you need anything from Colombia, you know, Ali's the right guy to talk to.
Don't you even think about it. The other side of the news, Felix.
Just another simple start, Ali. Sorry about digressing into Colombia's coke. Another thing is that the GDP per capita for the country is at about $6,428 USD. The annual growth rate is what is pretty much very low, at about 3.3%. That was the data from 2019. We're hoping to get the 2020-2021 data coming in, probably from the World Bank very, very soon. And that's one thing as well that I know we'll definitely be looking into. One of the main things that have also been for Colombia over time have actually been a lot of political issues. And if you, in case you're wondering why the country is probably in a mess, is because of a lot of political issues, to a point that the US was almost involved. But yeah, I'm just hoping that we can be able to do a few trades with Colombia, as Kenya and Colombia. It would be very interesting to see what kind of products they have to us, to offer to us, apart from oil.
Back to South Africa. South Africa is welcoming another agricultural sector that will hopefully create more jobs, well, create some jobs compared to what is lost. And the government just created a strategy that's expected to employ over 25,000 South Africans and hopefully attract foreign investment. And that strategy, drum rolls, is a national strategy for the cannabis industry.
We waited for this. We started up with this earlier in the podcast.
No, you're waiting for OnlyFans. We know it.
Take us through.
So the South African government has launched a national strategy that aims to monetize around 28 billion rand from the cannabis business. And what's 28 billion rand in dollars?
$1.9 billion.
Thank you, Felix. And the plan, of course, comes from extensive research, mirroring countries like Mexico, Canada, the United States, and China on their strategies on commercializing cannabis. And the government specifically plans to expand the volume and variety of cannabis produced, both for the domestic and the international market, while maintaining an efficient regulatory and legal framework. That's what's up with South Africa.
Ali,
what do you think?
Just repeat the statement. The government plans to increase the volume and
variety.
I didn't know that there are variety of cannabis. Probably, I'm not saying I've tried one, but maybe you've tried one, guys. You need to know that there's a variety. No wonder, like, you know, there's that time when guys usually say, and there are memes that go online that this is definitely not Mexican cannabis.
Right.
I thought it's, okay, it's like there's maize and there's corn. So, guys, pretty much interesting. And we should think about these other open varieties.
Speak for yourself.
I don't know. Nicole, did you know that we have more than one variety of cannabis?
I've heard rumors.
Who? We have field agents, guys, so.
But then I feel like, you know what? With where the world is at, cannabis is not going anywhere. So why not make money out of it? Seriously, if we can make $1.9 billion, let's do it. And I feel like,
But then, Ali, you know, I think South Africa is really coming in at a very interesting bit, considering that the agricultural sector actually added 69,000 jobs for the period in review. You know, it's pretty much interesting that we're seeing cannabis also really come in as an interesting point.
Right.
One thing that guys also need to understand is that South Africa doesn't really become the first country to legalize active and commercial production of Mary Jane. One of the things that we also know here is that even our neighboring country, Uganda, actually gave paved way for licensing for guys who actually want to put, not for personal use. In South Africa, there's actually license for personal use. In Uganda, it's purely commercial. And we've heard news where Canadian companies wanted to actually do They wanted to set up, you know, base even in countries like Kenya, as much as the regulation has said no to it. But I think it would really add a lot in terms of GDP if we could be able to just grow in terms of revenue, you know, to the exchequer. If these are the places that the government needs to know, the way they're taxing EABL, these are areas that they could literally be able to tax into and still probably make a lot of money from. There are other countries as well in Africa that have also legalized production. We've seen Rwanda actually saying that they would put certain legislation to allow for that. But also still, I know we're waiting for what other you know, first class or global market leaders are going to do into this case, and then we'll follow them.
When are we going to actually, you know, take courage and venture into these things without waiting for global giants? Why does it always have to be US, China, Canada?
They're going to probably start accepting Bitcoin soon. El Salvador is actually now accepting Bitcoin.
No, I'm talking about us, you know.
No, for us, no. We won't do that.
Let me. So globally, one of the things that the world is looking at between now and 2026 is actually the growth of novel machinery and equipment. Well, the growth of the agricultural machinery and equipment sector by around a compounded annual growth rate of around 8.12% between now and 2026. And one promising subsector is actually, you know, novel developments around the cannabis. Specifically, the world is bullish around the innovative machinery used in the cultivation of cannabis buds and flowers, which is actually expected to sort of grow, especially in the next 5 years. So you know what? It's a good thing.
I think Ali, you have a lot of experience in this sector. You want to talk more about it?
No.
But pretty much interesting, guys. A lot of data coming in. And remember, one of the things that we always say, and in case you're wondering, there are actually companies that work on medical hemp, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually trading. And these are some of the things that you'll soon be able to get access to through the HISA app. Companies that trade in, that actually use marijuana. So if you can't buy it, you can smoke it. Why don't you buy the company that makes it?
What he said. Moving on. Felix,
Global. OnlyFans.
Yes.
We're still not talking about OnlyFans.
Let's just get it behind us so that we can be able to run this discussion objectively without you being erratic.
Can we start with drum rolls?
Drum rolls. Not for OnlyFans. Okay, so OnlyFans.
So now, guys, this is what happened. So OnlyFans comes in and tells the content creators that, you know what, from 1st of October, we're not going to be able to let you guys post any material that is X-rated. And then what happens next is that OnlyFans actually realizes that the user drop rate comes in so high for them just cutting off that statement. Because you know what happens is that OnlyFans was actually popularized by the same guys that now they're trying to ban from the platform.
Mm-hmm.
OnlyFans is basically a platform that allows you to be able to, you know, post your content and ask guys to either subscribe or follow. And most people have gone to the subscription rate because it actually makes them money. Now, what's been happening over time is that OnlyFans has been a free platform. We've seen other platforms have a lot of control,
mm-hmm,
or censorship in them, like YouTube, for example. You can monetize YouTube, but there are certain level of content that you cannot be able to post on YouTube. Now, OnlyFans was a free platform. Whatever you needed to do was to have your credit card info or your PayPal account, and then you could definitely just pay in for it for whichever content that you'd wanted to watch.
Mm-hmm.
OnlyFans got the activity for OnlyFans really shot up during the pandemic period, where the commercial sex workers would post a lot of content, and guys would actually be able to subscribe and pay for it. Funny though, that was one of the second best performing segment for OnlyFans. And the subscription rate started falling. Immediately the company said that, you know what, our banking partners have said that we really need to get this content right before they can be able to start accepting and probably processing payments and bringing in more liquidity as well, and a lot of other stuff as well. In this case now, we're seeing OnlyFans, you know, picking in and telling guys that we're back. We're back with news, guys. Our banks actually said they didn't have any problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine banks not having problems with charging guys money for X-rated content? Why would my bank charge me for transferring money from my crypto payment account from Coinbase into my local bank account? Sounds illegal, guys.
I think
let me finish ranting a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It would be it's very awkward that products that are within the financial space are not being accepted, and then at the same time we're seeing guys accepting various products as well from other sectors. I won't want to get into which sector we have here. I was a little bit noisy out there, but it's because I've been waiting for this OnlyFans discussion. We were supposed to have this last week, and it looks like we had a double. Last week was when they cancelled that, and this week they've actually renewed that. And there's actually been a video going around that they figured out that they have a lot of guys who'd subscribe to a lot of other content as well. But also I think one of the things that a lot of guys also need to understand,
mm-hmm,
is that, you know, the OnlyFans, most people would think that the top earners for OnlyFans were X-rated models. That's not the case. Or commercial sex workers. That's not the case.
Is it not?
It's not. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, like, the top earner for OnlyFans is actually Blac Chyna? I know I said Blac Chyna when we were starting this.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing was Bella Thorne. We're looking into it. We're seeing Cardi B. These are musicians. You know, Tiger. And Tiger threatened that if OnlyFans would stop certain content, then...
I thought he launched his platform already.
He said he would launch one. I don't know if he already did.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he would actually launch one. It would be interesting just to see on to what level. Is it that Tiger was watching a lot of OnlyFans,
mm-hmm,
and that's why he was in the platform?
Mm.
Because he threatened to give guys a free platform. Pretty much weird to look into it. And finally, on number five, we have Mia Khalifa, who was once a producer or a performer and is now no longer in the industry.
Huh.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, and so you see the top five guys, the person that we're seeing and who guys would think is in the industry but is no longer in the industry is Mia Khalifa. Yeah, but for the other guys, everybody else, we're seeing Cardi B, Tiger, these are musicians, we're seeing Bella Thorne, who's here as well, and geez, these guys are making a lot of money. Yeah, but I'd probably want to go into OnlyFans just to look onto Blac Chyna. I have never used OnlyFans, but I think it would be interesting just to see the type of content that Blac Chyna actually posts on OnlyFans. Yes, Ali, back to you.
Right.
Oh, finally, OnlyFans might be planning a listing. We're really looking onto which market they come into. Yeah.
Right. I am happy that you've talked about listing, moving away from Mia Khalifa. Let's talk about, you know, the money and where OnlyFans can actually get money. Thing is, the OnlyFans that accepts, the OnlyFans that is receptive to all types of content creators is what we call the OnlyFans 2.0. And you, that's OnlyFans 2.0. The OnlyFans that's, you know, what's open to whatever content you create. So if you create videos for workout or I don't know, how to videos for press releases, or create content that is considered adult, that directly puts you into the tag of a vice company. Yeah. So essentially, most venture capitalists would look at OnlyFans the same way they'd look at a cigarette manufacturer. So this is, again, please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. This is a company that's considered to be slightly less sustainable in terms of its ESG parameters, yeah? And since OnlyFans has decided to go vice and be loud about it, that already limits the number of investors who can put money into OnlyFans
Because you know what? There's like most investors are guided by, you know, these
certain clauses.
Certain clauses,
yeah,
or covenants that limit the sectors in which they can invest in. And even the investors, I was reading the Forbes article earlier that even the investors that ideally don't have these vice clauses, some would still shy away from OnlyFans because of other concerns. So for example, we've had concerns with regards to, you know, age verification or the age verification of the people who
subscribe to OnlyFans.
Who subscribe to OnlyFans. So my question is, again, allow me to give this disclaimer. I'm not a user, I'm not a creator, so I do not have information whether or not and to what extent OnlyFans has this rafts that allow them to actually verify the age of people that are on the consuming side and on the creating side, as well as, you know, provide or lie us with tax bodies like in Kenya, Kere, in terms of making sure that
a lot of revenue for Kere.
I'm curious as to the number of creators we have
just,
within Nairobi. But
I'm
then
just seeing,
mm-hmm,
OnlyFans revenue is as high as $390 million.
Shush. It's a lot of money.
It's pretty much interesting. And you know, it's very interesting. I didn't know there's something known as OnlyFans 2.0. I'm actually just learning that.
Well, that's the beauty of being when we are curious here. That's the beauty of being here. But then, here, Felix, while most investors, you know, would shy away because of A, those concerns, B, the vice clauses, we have an investor that I was reading about that specifically puts her money into companies that are considered vice companies. And her name is, her name is Catherine Dockery from Vice Ventures. And you know what? Catherine Dockery, if this ever gets to you, I'd love to have you on the Kenyan Wall Street podcast at Meet the Investor, because I feel like this is a pertinent issue. And my opinion on vice capital is that I do not think that venture capitalists should stand on a moral pedestal, Catherine, my English is better, I swear. On a moral pedestal when it comes to investment, because you know what? It doesn't really make sense. Otherwise, we'll have to start cutting investments in, I don't know, companies that trade in alcohol and cigarettes, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on, subject to moral interpretation, you know?
Well, Ali, just to cut you short
yeah?
On something.
Sure.
You know, even onto the retail market, even onto the stock market, we usually have guys who we call moral or principal investors.
Mm-hmm.
And I know guys who can never be able to buy stocks like BAT despite the lucrative dividends, despite the lucrative earnings that the company actually has.
Mm-hmm.
Guys would, you know, they would analyze. It's the same way that we have guys who, you know, believe in we have guys who do stuff like Islamic banking, for example.
For sure.
Yeah, and guys want to really invest within the Sharia laws.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't want to go against that. It's the same way we have also guys who can't invest. I know that there are guys who, I have actually met investors who tell you, I cannot buy EAPL, it goes against my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them this is the best performing stock. You tell them, last week we talked about EAPL, it was at 180, it's now at 200. They will tell you, no, let it be. The same way guys will tell you they cannot be able to buy into BAT.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes in way, way, way longer than that. A lot of guys have that principle,
mm-hmm,
the principle, yeah, whatever it is. The lot that guys would always put as their quote before they can be able to invest in it. So I know the challenge is, you know, we have companies that have that level of moral, stronger,
mm-hmm,
moral and ethical view of life. And then we have guys like Elon who smoke hemp on live shows.
Right.
Yeah. And they can be able to invest in anything.
That doesn't say that Elon is not my hero. Elon is still my hero.
But the thing is, my issue is, you know, the parading. I like to point, you know, this is supposed to be democratized enough for everyone to pick up what they want and what they don't. But then let's not label one as the norm and one as the outlier in ways that limit, you know, companies that offer these services, especially to people who follow all the regulatory requirements to access this kind of content in the name of morality. Guys, let's not do this. Anyway, those are my personal opinions.
That's a story for another day.
Felix?
Yeah.
Forbes.
Oh, guys.
Yes.
Good news. Yeah, finally. So, Forbes, that's the brand that owns Forbes magazine, is actually being brought in, is actually being acquired by an SPAC or a SPAC, as you want to, you know, probably get to understand onto that bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that means Forbes is actually going to go public.
Right.
Pretty much interesting in this case. And so we're seeing here that Forbes is going to merge with a blank check company.
Mm-hmm.
Blank check companies are basically SPACs. So how SPACs work is that these guys give you a blank check and they tell you, you know what, we have all the money in the world that you want. Value yourself and then give us the numbers and then this is a check. Write the figures on your own. Ali, write the figures on your own.
Right. What do you think? Did you see this coming? Forbes via SPAC.
I think Forbes would have gone, they would have really done better used through an IPO.
Why do you think that?
Considering that Forbes is one of the oldest media outlets in the US and definitely globally, it's one of the oldest. I think we've always looked at Forbes as this, you know, global brand, and the blank check company that is coming in to, you know, merge with Forbes is going to probably have a lot in terms of another level of challenging bit for the company. It creates a lot of headwinds, but we've seen a lot of challenges happen with media companies. Mostly companies that focus a lot on print media, and we've seen that happen even with our local companies. The company, in case you're wondering, the company that Forbes is actually going to merge with, it's known as Magnum Opus Acquisition Limited, which is a company that, it's like another Centum, you know, basically acquiring other companies and then they list them and then they could definitely finally be able to, you know, exit or lay off that position. From the day of the announcement, Magnum has gone up and raced all the way to about $9.87, and now it's down again to $9.85. So,
you know who else is going for a SPAC?
Who?
Swivel.
Oh.
Oh, you missed this. So Swivel. Swivel is. I can't. This is not new news, guys. This is old news. Swivel is going to merge, and then this news came out last month. Swivel is going to merge with Queen's Gambit for a SPAC at the Nasdaq. I can't remember, and I was so happy to see this news, because you know what, when Swivel came to Kenya, I was their first fan. Mustafa Kandil, yay! I was so excited.
Actually, I think you interview Mustafa.
I did. I interviewed Mustafa when he came to Kenya.
Ah, interesting, Ali. Is it Swivel or Swivel? Let's just get that first right.
Let me say it how he says it. Swivel.
Swivel. Yes. Now
with the Egyptian accent.
Yeah. It's also very interesting that Swivel was actually going in through a
Swivel.
Okay. Swivel. Swivel. Yeah. Okay. Swivel is actually going was actually valued at $1.5 billion.
Yes.
1.5 billion, not Kenya shillings, guys. Dollars. Yeah, whenever we're in the Curious Show, unless we're talking about local markets, we're always talking about dollars. Yeah. It's very interesting that this is a company that we actually went loggerheads to with the country's regulatory authorities, to a point that they actually stopped operations for, I think, about 3-4 months.
Yeah,
there's a time when Swivel actually had issues with NTSA. You recall that period, Ali?
I remember. And
that was immediately after your podcast.
People, there's a lot of word going around that I neither confirm nor I don't know, reject those claims. But anyway, there was that regulatory tussle around, you know, the NTSA requiring Swivel to become or to register as a circle and, you know, to have fixed route. I think it's just that, you know, the regulation between, sorry, it's just the tussle between, you know, legacy systems and new solutions. And trust me, that's always something in Kenya, especially when it comes to solutions in the transport sector, solutions in the gig economy, and well, of late, e-commerce and the DST, and of course, influencers. It's something that's always there. Maybe the last thing, I want to say this on the podcast in case it comes through. Again, I'm reiterating, I really want to talk to Catherine, and I'm just going to shoot my shot blindly immediately after this podcast, and I hope it goes through. The last thing on the discussion today...
Is it... Which Catherine? Catherine Kasavule? Because we can get that from KBC.
Please. I'm talking about Catherine Dockery from Vice Ventures, you know, the company that invests in, quote-unquote, what is considered as bad, you know? Maybe the last thing that I'd like to talk about here is, now that I mentioned influencers, is TikTok. And in case you missed this, so earlier in the week, we've had a few changes in a couple of social media platforms. And what I want to talk about is the fact that TikTok is testing shopping tabs with select Shopify merchants. Of course, I mentioned Shopify, so we all know that this is an issue of Global North. So this is a testing that will be running in the US, Canada, and the UK. But then as usual, just like features like Facebook Market, this is likely to roll down into the sub-Saharan Africa, assuming things go well. And so essentially, what they're testing is that it's going to be like a dedicated sort of section of a TikTok profile with a scrollable list of products, where once you click, you go directly to a merchant's Shopify storefront. And it's creators will also be able to sort of embed these links or integrations that will ping you back to directly to a merchant's storefront, kind of like what Felix was saying. Imagine Hobby Lane pointing to a product, and then you click on it, and then takes you to a merchant's Shopify storefront, and then of course you go purchase and check out. Of course, this is gonna come with requirements like TikTok for Business and a Shopify storefront. It's something that is not necessarily available to many creators. And hey, with the changes in social media platform sort of going more towards commercialization, is not just like a TikTok issue. We saw changes in Instagram, where I think Reel now has a catalog. You know, also last year we saw that Instagram would still allow guys to have a picture that directs you to a catalog and shows you the price as you interact with it, which I think is actually the future of, well, the present of social media. Social media and e-commerce are becoming highly, highly integrated. And I feel like it's that opportunity especially for creators. You know what? If you're advertising a product and you're really, really getting that engagement and you're really, really getting that traffic, your clients or your viewers can now directly convert that engagement to, you know, a sell or at least a product view. You know? Felix, I don't know what you have to say about that.
Cristiano Ronaldo just moved into Manchester United,
oh
guys.
God.
Yeah. Bringing in breaking news hot from Old Trafford.
Ignore that again. This is by Heath and the Kenyan Wall Street. And
actually,
Cristiano Ronaldo is listed on the Nasdaq.
No, actually, guys, this is why it's very interesting. You know, you can actually buy shares for Manchester United. The company, the same way companies like Juventus, teams like Juventus are run by companies.
Mm-hmm.
And within our latest tweet, you'll actually get, just go to Hisa, at Hisa app, and there's something interesting we posted for you about Manchester United. Very interesting. If you're on Twitter, if you're on the open forum, definitely. We're going to add, we're going to tell you guys, just download Hisa. And remember, guys, once again, very great news coming in next week for Hisa users. Very interesting thing that, you know, we've been waiting for a very long time. And it's going to come in hot. But for now, just know that Cristiano is back.
Yes, so yeah, Cristiano is back in Old Trafford.
This season, and watch this
hopefully
game.
Within the next. Well, actually,
Ali, do you watch football?
Well, I'm about to buy into my youth using his.
Yeah, I
think that's important that actually exactly. Watching football. Don't you think?
Oh, I think so.
Nicole, do you watch football?
Partly.
Okay.
Play football.
Okay. Which team do you support?
Chelsea. Yeah.
Oh, blue is the color.
Oh yeah.
Moving on.
Ali, what's the share price for Manchester United right now?
18.74.
18.
Could you say that loudly again for the people at the back?
18.74.
What currency?
Dollars.
Thank you. So yes, that is going to be like yet another amazing thing you'll be able to access via Hisa.
And then can you guys imagine in the past 1 hour since the news came in? News for Man U buying Cristiano Ronaldo.
You mean buying back. Thank you.
Cristiano Ronaldo has actually seen the share price rally up by about 8% since market opened on the New York Stock Exchange. We're seeing Man United PLC, the price open today at 17.5, that's $17.50, and now it's $18.77. So pretty much interesting. We'll have to see how this always happens. So coming in hot.
I think maybe just closing in, since we're in Corona season, in case you missed it, Pfizer received the full FDA approval. Felix, what do you think this? Where do you think we're going? Because here's the thing, yeah. At this point, Corona is here to stay. And people got the first shot, and people are getting booster shots. Do you think the money is now in the vaccine companies? Because, my God, did you see how much these companies recorded revenue, Felix?
We're seeing companies here making a lot of money. We're seeing companies like BioNTech actually make way, way more money.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing Pfizer. And Pfizer is now going to... I don't know, Ali, if you...
Because the approval by the FDA is like direct vote of confidence.
Yeah, it's just telling guys, like, you know what? These are the guys' farm.
Mm-hmm.
Pick them. Yeah, now for us, we're still using COVAX.
You mean AstraZeneca?
Yeah, Astra. And JJ, what we'll be waiting for. But I think, Ali, it's really that we're seeing a lot of... definitely, we know this when Trump was there and when he made a comment and said that this is now a race for the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a race for the best. Who's really going to pick in into this space? And we're seeing in this case, a lot of companies, medical companies have picked into that space and they're making money from it.
Right.
So pretty much, I think it's companies are going to make money. And remember that companies really heavily invested in some of these vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is right now we're seeing a lot in terms of developments for COVID.
Mm.
And there could be a higher possibility that we could see this, can I say it's more of an oscillating feature,
right,
for the viruses. We're seeing that we saw a few issues with AstraZeneca where Japan has actually paused issuance of AstraZeneca.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a major concern for other COVID-19 vaccine producers.
Right.
The one thing that we also need to understand is that companies really put in a lot of money. I know I mentioned that, but to give you guys the figures, Pfizer actually put more than $1 billion in the research and hiring the personnel and equipment for the vaccines that now they're getting in money from. It turns up as a very important thing, but I even know there's a new strain that is actually picking up apart from the Delta variant. There's COVID-22. You've heard of that?
What?
Yeah, like COVID is rebranding, guys.
Jesus.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering, there's COVID-22, which is actually way lethal than the Delta variant, which is now the worst. So it looks like anytime there's any sort of outlook to a better future. Now you're seeing even the current variant, the Delta variant, guys are being told to go for another third shot. After being told they need to take two, come on guys, you're vaccinated for polio once and now you're being vaccinated for COVID like thrice and four times. Jesus. And I know we also have an anti-vaxxer within the team. I won't mention who that is. But if you're an anti-vaxxer, basically not in for the shot, you might want to think again and probably reduce your movements with guys, because COVID-22 is coming in and that might just be a better upgrade.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's wait and see. Felix, I think this is all we had for today. Maybe what are some of the things that our listeners could expect or anticipate in the coming Markets Monday? I know we've seen a lot of results that have come out this week, but over the top, on top of your mind, what are we looking into?
Well, guys, first of all, the things that we'll be looking at would be a few numbers from some of the companies, and we'll definitely be looking at housing finance. It's pretty interesting. I know you might be able to ask yourself, yeah, but housing finance results are, I don't know how I would put them. You might want to wait for Monday just to understand onto that page.
Okay.
One of the other companies that I know we'll also be looking into is Nation Media. How did that company really turn back into profitability? Interesting times. But I think above all this, we need to look at and generally understand the financials for Absa Bank Kenya PLC. Absa results were up and, you know, the earnings after tax for the company were up about 847%. Who does that? So banks are actually making a lot of money, but you need to understand why. And that's one thing that I keep telling investors. You need to understand where the money is coming from. Is it from NPLs? Is it from the provisions that the companies actually made and they're probably looking on to retiring some of them? There's a lot more that we need to understand, because also remember that Absa is a very special case. Remember, Absa completed the rebranding from Barclays to Absa and generally just taking over and everything else. Picked in. They finished that last year early. I know you know something about that. You'll definitely be mentioning that on Monday as well. So keep it locked in, guys. We'll also be giving you guys a few numbers from a few numbers generally from the market in terms of how the market has performed, how the various indices have performed. We know that the last 2 weeks, the last 4 weeks actually, the market has really been bullish. Mostly we've seen the all share index up about 20,000 basis points. And right now, sorry, Jesus, not 20,000, 2,000 basis points. And we've also seen the 25 share index also up, and also the NSE all share, which are some of the benchmarks for the local markets. Also in global markets, we've also seen a few in terms of the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the NASDAQ composite, and also the Dow Jones Industrial Average also really top up in terms of all highs, apart from yesterday when they declined on that. Those are some of the things that we'll definitely be discussing on Markets Monday. So keep it locked in, guys. On Monday at exactly 9:45 a.m., we sit down and we'll also tell you how the market will be opening on that coming week.
All right. What he said. This is all we had for today's podcast. I'd love to put a cap on this here, Felix. You seem to disagree.
Yeah, I think there is something interesting is coming up again on Hisa. I've mentioned that all week, from Monday, Wednesday, today. We've talked about Hisa, a very special newsletter coming in this weekend. You might just want to keep watch and see. You guys, if you're not on Hisa yet, go to your phone, man. Just download Hisa app. You know, go to your Android Play Store, your Huawei App Store, or iPhone App Store as well. App Gallery for Huawei, and just download Hisa. And then there's a very interesting thing, and I believe as a first user, something special will be coming in for you as well as a Hisa tester. So that's it for me and my team. Nicole, do you have anything?
Looks like Nicole wishes to reserve her comments at the moment, and I would like to put a cap on it. Thank you for joining today's podcast. Just to give an opportunity for our members who are live.
Yeah, the guys who are live. If you're live on Telegram, if you're live on Twitter Spaces, you might, if you want to ask a question or a comment, This is that moment when we tell you guys, you know what, you can actually raise your hand. Let it be heard. And we let you off there so that you can be able to raise your hand, and then we'll let you probably comment on something, one or two. All right. Okay. I have seen none from my end. Ali, on your end on Twitter?
Nothing but prayer.
Okay. Seems like a lot of guys are still on Mombasa Road. Yeah. That's been trending all week. Guys, if you're on Mombasa Road, you need to leave work at probably about 2 p.m. Yeah.
All right. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us, and goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.